So I posted a question earlier today regarding if a person initially who you're interested in tells you no, do you take the first no at face value or do you keep pursuing? And the reason I brought that up is because we were conditioned a long time ago to not take no for an answer. And I'm not preface. Not talking about sex. I'm talking about shooting your shot with someone you're interested in the most wholesome of ways. That is where I'm coming from. So I'll put that out there first. So when I was a kid, I was always taught that if she tells you no, she's playing hard to get and that you should keep trying. And you know what taught us this? Television, rom-coms. Family Matters with Laura and Steve, things like that, where initially the woman was not interested, and then by some act of God or the writers decided to finally do the will they won't they storyline, and then the women finally acquiesces. Forrest Gump's another one. Forrest Gump and Jenny is the
Generally.
ultimate no, but yes, but not right now. But yes, but no, but not right now. And that's
Life
what I
is like
mean.
a box of chocolates. I love that movie.
Not relevant to the conversation at the moment. Stop trying to derail the show. But that is where today's episode kind of revolves around, and it brought up a really good conversation point about the differences between what's a boundary, because it just segued into this, boundaries versus ultimatums, because I started to realize that there are many people out there who are, and if you missed my previous podcast, go back and check that on anchor.fm, Damian G Show, about your relationship boundaries, where you're comfortable at versus where you want to be. So, in the realm of do you take the initial no for an answer, that might be a boundary where you just respect a person's right to tell you no. But alas, some people still live in the land of, oh, but they're not trying hard enough. Oh, I'm just saying no right now because for whatever reason, because I want them to pursue me. I literally just got off the phone with someone who is in that similar situation and I damn near tore my hair out.
Jesus.
And that just breeds me to have these types of conversations with Sarah. So before we get into the article, Sarah, about boundaries versus ultimatums, I want your own opinion. If someone you like approaches you and you tell them no, is it a code, that initial no, is it a code for keep trying or is it take it at face value?
If someone, well, someone that I like actually like approaches me and shoots their shot, I'm gonna eat it up. I don't understand the no, I want you to pursue me harder. I don't understand that.
What if it's not, what if it's someone that initially you may not dig, but at the same token, you're thinking maybe I can give them a shot for whatever reason. Maybe they're too short, maybe they're just getting out of a relationship, blah, blah, blah. What
See,
about them?
to me, that I feel like that needs communication, like being honest and clear and saying stuff like, hey, you're a really great person. This sounds like, okay, and I know women do this just to like push people off, but like, you're a really great person. I actually like you. Maybe at some point, I don't feel like we're there yet. Not just saying no and then expecting them to continue to pursue. It's a matter of like, I maybe like I find you intriguing, like there's something about you that I like, but we're not, I'm not there yet, or you're not there yet, and let's just take the slow and see where it goes kind of thing. Not a just a no, I'm not interested, and then when they stop pursuing you, you get mad because that's, you told them no. You told them, we talk about it all the time about if someone is not interested in you, walk away. Like, don't sit there and chase them. Don't put them on a pedestal like there's no other options for you. If you're not enough for them, it doesn't mean you're not enough or that you're not enough for someone. Move on. It doesn't make you less valuable. So if someone tells you no, if you're telling someone no and expecting them to still chase you, that's one, manipulative. Two, that's what that's a game. Don't play games like that. Like, I don't, no,
Well, I
just
brought
no.
that up too. I brought that up to the group in question. I said, oh, since when did playing air quotes hard to get become a game? And then it hit me. It always was. It's not that it just now became a game. It always was. And for me, that was a level of growth of, oh, snap, for real. It's always been part of the ploy, the relationship dating game, as it were. And now I just find it funny how now a lot of people are poo-pooing it when I guarantee you 10 years ago, they would have been all about it playing this game. But now we live in a world where you can get called out on your BS. And also, like we've talked about, the illusion of choice.
Yeah.
The illusion of choice. If you turn me down, I'll say, okay. And then I move on to my business. And if I meet somebody else, I meet somebody else. That is how I handle rejection now. I don't take it personally. It's not about me. It's about them. And I keep it moving forward. Prime example, full disclosure. I remember when I first joined, I did exploratory shooting of shots with one person. And they basically said, hey, I'm talking to someone right now, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, cool. And I kept it moving. At first, I was like, okay, whatever. And then I realized, all right, she's telling that to me because that's something about her, but she's still openly hitting on dudes in the group. So that's not about me.
No,
That's
that's not about you.
definitely about them. So that's how I take it now. I'm not offended by it. I'm not hurt by it. Yeah, rejection sucks, but we live in an abundant universe here. There are plenty, forget the phrase, there are plenty of fish in the sea. Really are just a whole bunch of people on this planet. I guarantee you, in the circles you run in, or even the other circles you may dabble in, you can find someone that fits you and fits your life and what you want. So you shouldn't get hung up on one or two rejections. So I'm putting it out there. Again, woman tells me no, keep it moving. If she comes back to me and says, oh, but that doesn't mean I don't want to keep talking to you. If no, that's that hook stuff that you and I talk about.
That's not fair. That's not fair. That is keeping someone on the hook just to validate your ego, and that's not fair to the person you have on the hook. Not at all. And
And
like,
that's
definitely. The goal is definitely to be like you, however this works, that mindset, and handle rejection. I'm still working on the rejection thing, like actively working on being okay being rejected, or being okay that I'm not enough for said person or whatever. It's not easy, but it's something
no.
like, we're all about growth. If you're gonna grow, work on being able to be re take rejection, not being rejected, because they're not necessarily rejecting who you are, but they're rejecting something, or it may not be you as a person, you
Right.
know?
It has nothing, it's them.
It's them.
I abide by the law of everyone in your universe. How you interpret your life is who you are inside pushed out. So if I'm going to be one of those people that says all women are trash, that's something wrong with me. That's something about me that I got to rectify. If I'm saying all women are trash, correction, the women I am attracting and allowing into my life is an indicator on me. It's what I'm doing to bring these people into my life. That's some self-growth and analysis that's necessary that not a lot of people do.
No.
Especially in the dating realm. They just say men are trash, women are trash, and that's the
Yeah.
rap.
There's not, I don't think people realize there needs to be growth within the dating realm in general. Like, if you want to have a successful dating relationship, like life, I guess, I don't know, if you want healthy people to come in your life, it requires growth. You have to work on it. And it's not work on other people, building people from the ground up. That's not what we're doing here. It is a matter of building yourself up to attract the people that need to be in your life. Simple as that.
Simple.
Not building people up. I'm gonna be sassy about it still. I don't even care.
Well, we can talk about that another time because I do see where the person in question is coming from when they say building a person from the ground up.
No. No.
Is it not our duty to help those grow?
It's helping. You're not building them. They're building themselves. They're
Are
building
we not coaching
themselves.
them to build themselves?
We are offering a hand. We're offering a hand, and it's up to them whether or not they want to take it, grab it, use their muscles to pull themselves up. We help them. We offer them a way, but we didn't build them. They built themselves.
But we
Stop
helped in the
building.
building
You can't.
process.
No, but you're not building. You're not the one building. I'm not, you're not building. You can't build anyone up. You can't do that. You can't.
But you can assist in them building themselves, is what I'm telling you.
You can do that. You can do that. You can show them a path. But you're not building them from the ground up. You can't build a woman from the ground up.
I didn't
Okay?
say that. I just said I
You
understand where
didn't.
they were coming from. That's all. It's not a
Oh.
boundary I'm willing to cross, my dear. That's not a boundary I am willing to cross. But and boundaries are just funny in general because I didn't know until about a couple of years ago what healthy relationship boundaries are. It took my marriage ending due to infidelity on both sides to understand what a healthy relationship boundary is. I'll go back to How I Met Your Mother, Ted and Robin. Not a healthy relationship boundary for the outside person at all. Because the amount of times Ted would give up really good relationships for Robin, because deep down inside, subconsciously, he was in love with her and couldn't let it go, even after she married Barney, tells you enough right there.
Stupid.
I get it, but unfortunately, a lot of us don't know what boundaries are. And to be honest, the next part of our show here is the comparison point between boundaries versus ultimatums. I saw a podcast recently about a couple who was interviewing themselves, and the woman was talking about how she and her husband got married. Long story short, she gave him a ish or get off the pot. That's how he interpreted it. She didn't interpret it as such. She interpreted it as it was her boundary to tell him, listen, this is what I want, versus him hearing, either we get married or we have to break up. So I decided to do a little bit of digging and find out what exactly is the difference between an ultimatum and a boundary. And I found it one article in particular. It is a relationship blog and lifestyle blog. It's Entwined Lifestyle, and it is seven things you need to know about boundaries versus ultimatums. Boundaries keep your self-worth and security intact, allowing for choices to be made by each individual within their relationship. That's a pretty decent way to describe boundary. And on the contrary, ultimatums are about forcing things to be your way or the highway while trying to seek power over someone, refusing to hear outside perspectives and give others zero options to repair damages and resolve differences, i.e., my way or the highway. So before we get into the list, Sarah, when I tell you ultimatum, what's the first word that comes to your head or the first phrase?
Yeah, it literally is my way or the highway. There was a woman in my life that was like this no matter what. Like there's no budging, no hearing anyone's side out. Like it's just no. Yeah, yes, you're right, by the way. You're right. No, nothing. There's just no option, no learning, no growth. It's just this is how it is. Clear, hard walls that aren't impenetrable. Like there's no room to grow or learn. It's just is how it is, regardless if it's true or not. There is a my, there was a lot of this with my ex-husband's family. It was completely irrational. This is just how things are. I'm like, what? Well, this doesn't. No, like a lot of times there's not rationality involved when all with ultimatums. This is how it is, period. No
It's like,
rationality.
according to who? You know,
Yeah,
whether, oh, it's
according
always
to
been that way. According to whom?
who? According to who? According to who? There, yeah. There's a yeah. There's a difference between like a boundary and and ultimatum, which we'll get into for sure.
So for me personally, I hear ultimatum, same as you. My way or the highway, inflexibility, no chance for conversation, no chance for exchange of ideas. Too bad, so sad is another phrase that comes to mind. So the first thing here on this list about seven differences between setting boundaries versus ultimatums, it is a we versus me mindset. When setting a boundary, you will want to come from a we mindset, even though you are expressing your personal limit using an I statement. As you express your concerns based on your relationship values, you are communicating what you need for that connection to continue to grow with someone. Interesting thought process there. Since boundaries are about your personal limits based on your values, you will want someone to respect your boundaries and be willing to work with you. But if you are personally criticizing their behavior, it is less likely that they are going to listen and respect your concerns. Therefore, please avoid blaming someone for poor behavior, as that is a me mindset. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it depends on your mindset, because I know sometimes when boundaries are set, I had this in my past relationship. It was, I'm setting a boundary not because I'm trying to make our relationship better or make things healthy. It was, I'm for at least for with him, it was, I'm setting a boundary because I'm mad at you and it's gonna be. It was a completely selfish kind of mindset, not necessarily, hey, this is for the team. It's rather a team mindset than a
There you go.
man. The team. We talk about the team all the time.
I think that's the perfect way to describe that. When I go back and think about the we versus me, I know my me's. I can pick out three right now off the top of my head that wound up undermining one of my best relationships. And it comes back to something where I grouped it as a boundary. Saying, I don't want to do this because of XYZ, but in the realm of being in a long-term relationship, I now realize how selfish that sounded when I said it. And it had to do with money. And you and I have these conversations about dating norms and gender roles and things of that nature. But I'll distinctly remember me telling my ex no, because it was a question about the household budget. And needing some extra funds from me to balance it out. And I said, no, you have a job too. You have this, you have that. But the way I phrased it, and in retrospect, what she really was asking me for, that could have been a conversation of instead of me just being petulant and humph and stomping away, that would have been a conversation point as the we versus me mindset. So I understand now completely. When you have a we mindset, because we're coming from the team aspect. So totally agree with that there. Number two, love versus fear mode. Boundaries give you flexibility and support the foundation of the connection, elevating it to the next level when differences may arise. One of the healthiest ways to speak up about your needs is by coming from a place of love, not in a romantic way, but in an empathetic and understanding way from the heart. When you operate from the heart, you are showing up truthfully and honoring your worth based on your belief system. When you have a healthy self-esteem, bingo, it's much easier to communicate and ask for what you need. This gives you confidence while knowing you are worthy of respect. The stronger your self-love is, the more you will live according to said boundaries. On the other hand, living in fear mode can keep you from speaking up and setting healthy boundaries. Either you are afraid the person will get mad, been there, leave you, or you'll be seen as being selfish, been there too. By assuming the worst, this shows that you are not feeling worthy or believe you deserve to be respected. When you have these negative thoughts, they can hold you back from honoring your self-worth and supporting your emotional health. Using fear as a driving force, which is the opposite of love, can lead you to a dead end, causing you to react to triggers instead of responding.
That Fear being the opposite of love.
I don't agree with that line. I actually
I'm gonna
think
have
the
to
opposite of
think
love
on
is
that one.
indifference.
I hear it's indifference, but I'm gonna have to think on that one. Fear, because fear, listen, fear is something, at least I know I talk about a lot with my clients, because it's something you have to face and overcome, and fear is real, and there's a reason for it, and what are you gonna do with it? And it's kind of an interesting coming from a place of love, like, listen, I care about us and our future and care about where we're going. Let's have a conversation about like your spending habits. Like, I'm not thrilled. This is an example about our spending habits, and I really want to invest in our future rather than coming from a place of, why are you buying this? Like, we're gonna be broke. We're gonna, like, we're gonna starve and end up homeless, or are you spending this money? Are you trying to like buy this stuff so you can look better for another person? There's a
Wow.
completely, yeah, there's there it could be a lot of things. When you come from fear, fear makes you it makes you think super irrationally a lot of times. And a lot of times fear is irrational. A lot of times, not always. And that would definitely be an ultimatum of stop doing this, because it's like putting, well, stop spending this money or I'm leaving you, because you're just going to hurt me anyways, and for whatever reason, rather than, hey, I'm concerned about our spending habits, and I want our future to be great. That's the difference between love and fear, I feel like. But I'm gonna have to think on that saying, fear is the opposite of love. I'm gonna put some thought into that one. Not the time or place.
Right, but still a good thought point and talking point for down the
Yeah,
road.
sure.
Me personally, the one line that sticks out for me is either you're afraid of the person that the person will get mad. The amount of times in my relationships I didn't come with the truth or my truth or just the literal truth is because I did not want to make my partner mad. And the funny thing is, yeah, because I grew up in it. I grew up with my stepfather not telling my mother anything or wanting us to keep it quiet. For the sake of like, oh, I don't want to make her mad. I don't want the fight. I don't want the argument. I don't want to make you a worse situation. And I'll never forget, I had this conversation with my ex-wife, at the end. And when we broke down the wise things happen. And she told me, you took the choice away from me. And I said the same thing. You took the choice away from me by keeping things a secret. And to her point, I did the same thing to some of her stuff. You didn't give me the chance to make a choice. I'd rather know than not know. And I could talk about another relationship I was in where I didn't want to say anything to this person because they were essentially not a time bomb, but they were sensitive to criticism.
They were reactive.
They were reactive. Whenever there was any kind of criticism, there would be a reaction and then self-loathing. And then I was conditioned to not talk about my feelings or how I feel about certain situations. And that's not
Right.
healthy. That is
No, that's not.
not healthy.
I like that taking away that person's choice. Because, I mean, honesty is super, super important to me. I actually have no problem coming up to some, well, like in a relationship and being super honest with them. I'm the person in the relationship to point out another attractive person and be like, yeah, they're attractive. Because one, it's like, hey, I'm not trying to like make them feel like jealous or anything, but it's like, hey, it's more of like in my head, I don't know if this is accurate, a respect thing, like, hey, I find them attractive, but I'm sticking here with you kind of thing. Like, I want you to be aware of my, what, like, where I'm at. And
Right.
it may be, I don't know if that's healthy in a relationship or not, but I honesty has always been a big, big thing. But I know, and I have worked on this, and it has to be worked on. When someone comes up to you being honest, not being reactive, because then you're not going to get honesty. You're not
Sure.
going to get honesty. But
You won't.
we also have to realize, if we're coming to the person being honest, realizing we're going to get a raw answer, being able to emotionally, Like, if you're going to come up to me and ask a question, do you actually want to know the truth too? So.
Some people say they do, but in reality, they don't, because it may wind up being an answer they don't want to hear. And not to borrow that line from Jack Nicholson, it's like you can't handle the truth. Some people can't.
They can't, yeah.
And that's why you keep it quiet, and thusly you're not helping anyone by doing that. That is not a growth
No.
mindset behavior. That's more of a destructive style behavior, which leads me to number three: growth versus destructive behavior. Boundaries promote growth in your relationships and allow you to form a deeper bond with someone. It gives you leverage to understand one another while overcoming differences that may keep you complacent. That's a big one. Complacency. Communicating in a calm, concise, constructive manner invites change to occur, leading to better alignment within the dynamic of the relationship. Ultimatums, on the other hand, lead to disruptive communication channels, causing the relationship to deteriorate and become destructive. Oof. Often, this results in the relationship coming to an end because you have reached an impasse where no movement can occur. Trying to seek power or control over someone repels them in the opposite direction or completely shuts them down. Oh my God. For me, this is the OMG one for me, because the amount of times that I've had to have these types of conversations with clients, with relationships, personal or romantic, when you try to be mutually respectful of one another, and then it all goes to pot over one little thing.
One little
It's
thing.
hard to stay in those moments, especially when you're trying to work through something that may be an impasse. Lines in the sand.
Yeah.
The amount of times I have drawn lines in the sand because for me, my boundaries were crossed. It's like, no, this, I feel this way, this behavior, I react to this behavior this way. This doesn't feel like a healthy behavior. I'm voicing this, and it's, well, line in the sand. And then I'm not afraid to admit this. Because of mutual line in the sands, I've missed out on multiple relationships
Yeah.
because of impasses.
Yeah.
But that's the destructive behavior. Well, I'm not going over there. Well, I'm not going over there. And then you're both too proud, and then the
Egos.
relationship ends, or you fight even worse.
Egos. Egos,
Egos.
egos. Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day, what's the worst thing that can destroy a relationship? I had two answers, actually. I said social media and egos. And the ego is one of the hardest things to step away from, especially in an argument, because what you want to do is react, because we're animals by nature, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so it's raw instead of, let me take a step back, process. That's why whenever I'm in a fight with someone, an argument, I say, give me 10 minutes. I need to decompress. We're gonna be right back.
Yes, speaking of being right back, keep going on this because I have someone knocking on my door right now. So
Go ahead.
keep going.
So me personally, just whenever I have the kind of growth mindset that I'm trying to continue to push upon myself and my clients and my friends, I try to lead by example. I try not to react. I try not to jump in and do something that's going to be reckless, or doing something that's going to cost me in the long run. And I can guarantee you, everybody, when you make decisions based on emotion, it never works out long term. It usually is going to
What?
work. It's not going to work out for you long term if you make a decision based on emotion. That's why having these types of growth behaviors versus destructive is a million times better than the norm. Trust me on this one.
Your emotions will lie to you.
Of course they
They
will,
will lie to you so
because they're
much.
ego based. So
Very
number
good.
four, ask versus demand communication style. When you begin setting boundaries, you will want to ask someone to work with you instead of telling them that they need to change to work with you. Using I statements will assist you in communicating what you need personally based on your limits. Boundaries display a sign of resilience and collaboration, yet hold firm weight when communicating what you need out of respect for the relationship. But if you find yourself demanding what you need from someone, they will sense you are overly concerned with yourself and find it to be disrespectful. Your communication style will come across as a very rigid, not allowing for cohesion style. You may find yourself saying, it's do this or I'm done with you style ultimatums. When you demand, others lose respect for you because they feel you are threatening them as opposed to, can you help me understand or do you mind working with me on XYZ? So when I hear that, I don't even hear that for romance or relationships. I hear that for work. I hear that for just working with coworkers and supervisors, because it goes back to the my way or the highway, because I'm dangling your paycheck over your head, as opposed to, I'm sorry, if I ask you a question, I want to understand why this is so important, which is why I butt heads with a lot of corporately minded people who try to run nonprofits. And for people who don't know, that's been my history. I've worked in nonprofits. I've managed, directed nonprofits, done budgets for them. But when I'm working with people who use the my way or highway ultimatum style, that doesn't motivate your team to want to do better. So in relationships, how is that going to motivate me? If you hit me with the, if you don't do this, I'm doing this.
So this is actually something I started studying a year ago. This goes in relationships. This goes in business. Just if you want to have better people skills, this is one of the things you need to learn, is learning to communicate and validating other people's, you know, what their side. That was the biggest thing they said in there. Make sure to collab and listen. If it's for the team, you know, when you have a boundary, something makes you uncomfortable, you express it. Mm-hmm. It really bothers me that you're talking to so-and-so online, and you're wanting to set a boundary and be like, can you not talk to this person for whatever reason? It shouldn't just be stop talking my way or the highway. You should come approach that person as like, oh, so I understand that this is making you feel uncomfortable. I understand why you would feel uncomfortable. And validating their feeling. And yeah, I understand. Because just sitting there saying, no, your way is wrong, doesn't help anyone. It's a matter of, okay, trying to understand where they're coming from and collab a solution. Like, listen, I understand that they make you uncomfortable. They are my business partner and I have to work alongside them. We have to have conversations and, you know, work that way. Like, that's how you have to somehow come up with a boundary that is healthy for both of you and collab and talk about it and for the team. For the team is the biggest
thing. You
just
said it. You need to ask someone to work with you if you want the respect.
Yeah. Work with. Yeah. Boundaries aren't, they're firm, but they're not like completely rigid. There needs to be some sort of flexibility, and it's not so they can cross this line again. It's so that it's put in the right spot. And so you're not putting up a wall and shutting a person out.
Right. That makes sense. But again, with the conversations, it's all about healthy dialogue, being able to converse without resorting to name calling. Honestly, yeah. That's part of the things that I love, is when you hear arguments that start off as calm conversations, and now all of a sudden it's, oh, well, you suck because of XYZ, or they make fun of the other person. Some people poke fun at weight, height, in-laws, whatever. It's a frustrating, thing, this whole ask versus demand communication style.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard.
Unfortunately, sorry to cut you off. Unfortunately, yeah. We got to do it or else we stay stagnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's hard, especially when you're in a argument or a disagreement, or there's a boundary being set that makes you feel uncomfortable, or some sort of way to not get your emotions involved. And sometimes things come out that you shouldn't have said, and then that comes apology. But it's all about growth. It's growth. I can tell you for a fact, and my ex will confirm this, that I did not communicate well in our relationship, even when I tried to set boundaries. I am much better communicator now, and it actually frustrates him. He's like, "Why couldn't you communicate like this when we were together?" I'm like, "Growth, man, growth. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's important."
I'm sure my ex-wife would have said the same exact thing to me. Why couldn't you communicate like this now? You have to go through the muck and the mire to understand what it is to be clean on the other side. It's one of the things I like to tell people. Number five is a needs versus wants for a healthy relationship. See, it goes back to communication. People have to be willing to be vulnerable about what they truly need versus what they want because other people are in their ear or because of societal pressures and norms. For instance, if I'm in a relationship, I need to be with a partner for my own whatevers. I need them to be a warm, caring human about their fellow man. That's a need for me. Why? Because I work in an industry where it's people-oriented. I'm going to run across some people that aren't as people-oriented as I am.
A
The
lot of
last thing I
people.
would want to do is go home and be with a cold and abrasive partner or a dead fish, as it's called. Why would I want to do that? So you know what I do? I communicate long beforehand about that being a need, a core value, versus a want of, oh, I want you to be under 99 pounds. See how that is different? Whereas women say, hey, I can't date you because you're 6 feet tall. And then I'll say, well, I can't date you because you're over 160 pounds. Doesn't feel good, does it?
On that.
See, it didn't feel good to hear that, right?
No. Ah, anyways, you made
So,
me go ahead because I'm about to be
boundaries.
sidetracked. You said something and I was about to go somewhere, so keep me on track, sir.
I'm sure boundaries derive from a place of need, meaning you need them in order to be happy and fulfilled in your relationship. When personal limits are being crossed, also known as your relationship values, this is your cue to ask what you need in the relationship. If you are more concerned with your wants, then you're operating from more of a me mindset. See the first point that we brought earlier. It's not about keeping relationship functioning in a healthy manner. It's about only what makes you happy. And man, let me tell you, I've been on both sides of that fence and it is not fun, especially when you get called out on your own me mindset about what your wants in a relationship are in terms of what your needs are. Because I used to, full disclosure, I used to see all of my partner's needs that had nothing to do with any kind of physical traits, any kind of this, that, and the third, with just human decency. And that was a tough pill to swallow. And to really look back now and say, oh, yeah, I could have done a lot more to be open to needs versus thinking everything was a want because it was, quote unquote, infringing on my autonomy, when in reality, it wasn't.
Oh no, do you want my ADD moment that's still stuck right here?
No.
Okay, then you're good.
Because
Keep
I feel like it's going to lead it to not being relevant to the topic.
going. No, it definitely is. It's
Is it
definitely
going to
not.
stay relevant to the topic?
Maybe.
You got 2 minutes. Go for it.
Okay, so you said like a dead fish. Okay, there's a new term I learned because Sarah doesn't know a whole lot. Called a pillow princess. Do you know what a pillow princess is?
You put the pillows under her head and she just lays there?
Yeah, that sounds boring. Is that a need versus want? Like, hey, I need you to do more in bed than just be a pillow princess.
Well, that's expressing a need if you're saying, hey, you on top doesn't do anything for me. I don't get turned on by that. How about this? That's expressing a need because it doesn't make you feel good at all.
Okay. Look, we stayed on topic.
Proud
I
of
was
you.
just going through this all. What is a pillow princess? And I had to look this up, or star fishing. And I was like, all right, okay.
So
Sorry.
the last point of this needs versus wants is you may say, I want you to take me on a trip to Italy or else I can't be with you as a negative. Creating conditional terms around your wants is being manipulative and leaves no room for growth in the relationships. My God, I'll never forget this. I know someone whose ex told them they had to lose, I think it was 40 pounds in order for them to take them on an all expenses vacation. It was used as a bargaining chip. If you drop 40 pounds, I will take you on an all expenses paid vacation.
I have questions about that.
As do I, but go ahead. What's yours?
Was it like, hey, and she's, was it like, hey,
it wasn't the contest.
Was it like, hey, man, I'd really like to go on this vacation, lose 40 pounds and I'll take you. Cause that's an asshole thing. If it's like, man, I really wish I could lose weight and I could go on this vacation and everything. And I'd look really nice in my pictures. And then the significant other is like, hey, you know, if you lose 40 pounds and reach your goal, I'll buy this for you. Cause it's two different. Huh?
Former, not the latter, first former.
Ah, mm-hmm. That's gross. That's grimy. That's kind of mean and hurtful, honestly.
So is the other one in a way.
Is it though? It's because I feel like if your significant other's like, man, I'm really struggling to be motivated. Like, I really want to lose weight, but I'm having a hard time being motivated. Like, he's like, listen, if you reach and like that to me, I feel like that's
you're
almost
still dangling
like
the carrot.
Yeah, but like if it's like that's communication. Like, hey, if you, I do this for you, and you know that we can set this goal. Like, we'll do this, and if you lose that weight, we can go on this trip. Is that, will that motivate you? And it's like a conversation to be had. It's not like, hey, if you're asking like, hey, would this motivate you? Does this help you reach your goal? Because I want to be on the team for this. That makes sense.
Okay, see that's a different way to phrase that.
Yeah,
but the way I'm hearing it on both ends, it's still the end result of I'm going to dangle this carrot in order for you to my partner to lose weight.
Hmm.
Remember, motivation's internal, not external.
Yeah. It's a matter of having that. I felt like if the communication, like, hey, if I do this, like, will this, or if I agree to these terms, will this help you in your mm-hmm. journey and what you want, not this. You want to do that? Well, you got to lose 40 pounds kind of thing. Don't want to be seen on vacation with you this weight. Like, that's kind of a...
I know people that have said that. I know there are people in this world that have said stuff like that. You think I want to be seen to you? You whale. Like, I've heard stuff like this.
That's mean. Don't say that. Even if you feel that, don't say that. That's not nice at all. Jeez.
I've heard it. I've never said those exact words. I've said some rude things in the past when I was much younger, but not to that effect. I would never say like, hey, you whale, you need to drop 30 pounds or else.
That's cool. All right.
It's the way you phrase things.
Oh.
Which brings up the number six, secure versus insecure mental state. Owning your self-worth gives you a place of security within yourself instead of depending on others for external gratification. You shine with internal strength, knowing you are worthy of relationship success. But if you find yourself trying to manage your needs by using ultimatums, then you're feeling insecure with yourself or the connection. You feel powerless in the moment that you try to force someone to abide by your rules and abort their own beliefs to accommodate your demands. The more you try to control, the greater out of control you will feel internally. Security breeds success. Insecurity breeds failure.
Oof.
Yeah.
I like that one.
So for instance, before we came on, you shared a video about a couple and the husband, I believe, was interviewing the wife.
Yes.
And she had talked about when other women find her husband attractive, where she doesn't lose her mind over it. Because she is under the realization, at least on the surface, that he is with her no matter what younglings throw it at him or other women throw it at him. And she's secure in her relationship. And she'll tell her husband, you still got it. That hot attractive person literally just threw it at you. You said it earlier on this show. You said you're the kind of person in a relationship that will say, that person's hot. Oh, damn, they talk to you? That's awesome. Doesn't mean you're going to do anything with it. That's the secure versus insecure.
And let me tell you, that takes time. That's fine. I will tell you, in my last relationship, there was a lot of infidelity, a lot. And we talk about codependency and me being insecure and all that stuff. And that was part of it. It was, I felt this need to control, or if this girl checked him out, or if he got hit on all the time, I felt insecure. And we'd get in an issue or fight over it. And at some point, because about a year and a half ago, I decided I was miserable, and then like trying to control everything and prevent him from cheating. And I said, no
That
more,
won't work.
no more. I was like, I told him, I was like, listen, I'm not looking through your phone anymore. That doesn't do anything for me. You're gonna cheat, you're gonna cheat. And that's on you. That's not on me. That is not a reflection of me. And it's a matter of taking that mindset of knowing your worth and knowing you have power and that you are worthy of a good relationship and a healthy relationship. And you can't control others, and letting go of that control and being like, I got this. I got this, regardless if this person is in my life or not.
Right.
That's on them, not on you. And if they cheat, that's not a reflection on you. That's on them.
My father used to have a phrase, well, still has a phrase, but he hasn't uttered it in a long time. It was, in a relationship, two things are going to happen. It's either going to work or it's not. That was one of his pearls to me. And I realized, you're right. Every relationship works up into a point, and then it ends eventually. Either A, you break up, or B, somebody dies. And then the relationship ends. But in terms of infidelity, I'll never forget this. In terms of worrying about cheating, if they're going to cheat, whether or not you worry about it, regardless if you worry about it. If they don't cheat, great. If they do, even better. You get to leave and start again and start from scratch with someone potentially that wouldn't do that to you. Words of wisdom from Damien's dad.
I mean, it's even the video I shared on our Instagram page, Damien's advocate, the video talks, she's like, if he's gonna go run off on me and be with one of those girls, he's gonna do it. Me worrying, me stressing, me being insecure and feeling less than for that isn't going to prevent that at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's moot at that point.
Knowing your worth and value is important. Not easy, but important.
Oh no, of course. But alas, you think some people are going to automatically abide by that? No.
No, they
That's where
should
the
though.
work comes in.
They should though.
There is no should or shouldn't. You either
Oh,
choose to
no.
grow or you do.
You're right. You are right. Again, two times in one day. Happens every now and again.
I'm right multiple times in a day, more so than twice, just an FYI. Ask clients, they'll know. Number seven, calm versus angry emotional state. As previously mentioned, use calm tones of voice when setting boundaries. It opens up the door for mindful and mutual understanding to resolve differences. Most disagreements occur because neither individual communicates their needs to create a respectful bridge in the relationship. However, if you are feeling emotionally heightened with anger, it will be nearly impossible to seek a resolution. Discord can't be resolved when emotions are high. What did we just say? At the same time, you can use your anger as an indicator of your personal limits that are being pushed, but it will be important not to use the anger to fix the problem. It'll lead to bigger differences that can shut down the conversation altogether. We literally have said that in some way, shape, or form, this whole entire show. And it's true because I grew up in a very toxic environment of everybody yelled to get their point across. I'm going to yell over you, you're going to yell over me, and that's it. Unfortunately, things like that aren't really helpful. I didn't know this until maybe about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Was it years ago? Yeah, about 8, 9, when I came back from Australia. When I came back from my trip from Australia, I realized in the grand scheme of things, there is no point to yell in a relationship. There's no point to scream. There's no point to be a hood booger and just start throwing temper tantrums. What does it do? But what I didn't realize was how easy it was for me to slip back into those behaviors when pushed, like they said in the article, to that boundary point of, ooh, I'm at a boundary. Wait, I need to process this. And you don't take the 10 seconds to process it. You literally just go. And then I'll never forget this. My ex and I, we got into an argument. I told her, let me out the damn car. I got out of the car. I walked away. She kept driving. Obviously, we were both a little inebriated at the time. And we didn't talk for like 2 hours. I walked around New York City for 2 hours on my own. I could have went home, but if I would have went home right then and there, I would have been so angry and so pissed. Nothing would have gotten fixed. Nothing would have gotten done. And it was all because I had a boundary of mine that was pushed and I didn't know how to process it. And I'll tell you what it is off air, but that was one of those things where I'll never forget that day. I said, stop the MF car. I got out in the middle of 2nd Avenue and 37th Street in New York City, took my pizza box, walked around New York for 2 hours, eating my damn pizza on a damn staircase. And I didn't care because I needed to calm down.
You know, that sounds about like you making sure you don't forget the pizza.
Yeah, that's about right. Come on, man. Food is life. I can't leave food. Leave no food behind, especially pizza.
Well, you know, that's very, very true. And it's funny because I think about past relationships. There's only been one relationship where I yelled, and it's they legit pushed me to that point. And I mean, you and I have gotten in disagreements. We both have to just walk away. That's all it takes. Just take a minute. You know, they always say don't fall asleep on being mad. I agree with that, but you still have to walk away and process and calm yourself down.
Of course.
My adoptive father, Senyo, the one I adore, and I'll never forget this. He taught me this. He said one time his mother, he did something, and this is how she always was, did something that ticked her off, like made her so mad. And she said, walk away from me right now. Walk away. And later he came back. She's like, all right, I'm calm now. I love you, but you're gonna get a spanking. Like go grab the belt or whatever it was. I don't know. This is he
That
grew
doesn't
up in
help.
he grew up in a but she, her thing was, I love you and what you did was wrong and you're going to be disciplined for it, but I'm not doing it in anger. Because if I do it in anger, you're not going to understand that I still love you. And as a point, and it that this that, that's kind of a bad example. I'm not saying you beat your significant other at all. It's from a parental point, but my the what I got out of that is do not have a teaching moment or a growth moment or a boundary setting moment in when you're angry, because it won't be clear. It becomes an ultimatum when you're angry. Like which what we discussed earlier. It's a matter of, yeah, just I need to walk away, calm down, and then we're gonna talk. It's healthy. It's important.
And
Like,
it
and it's
takes
hard
work.
to
I
do.
think that's the thing we have to push upon is to say it takes a lot of work to be able to know the differences between being selfish and selfless in a relationship in terms of, like we said, the we versus me mindset. In terms of love versus fear mode in the relationship, growth versus destructive behavior, asking versus demanding, that's a big one. Needs versus wants is an even bigger one. Secure versus insecure mental states, and calm versus angry emotional states. It's a balance. There is a reason why the phrase, there is a thin line between love and hate, because they are both strong feelings, emotions, and choices, but they are two sides of a very similar coin.
Which is why they're not opposites.
They're similar
It's
on the
similar.
coin. That's I will never say that they're complete opposites because they're really similar. It's a very thin line and elicits the same kind of response, in my opinion. I could be wrong. People want to disagree, that's fine. You could email the show at damongshow@gmail.com. Sarah, any last words before we get out of here?
No, that's those are some good, I mean, some great boundaries versus ultimatums. I know we've done a boundaries episode before, but I don't think we went into this depth of the difference between ultimatums and a boundary, because there's a big difference in knowing the mindset and being able to communicate healthy, which is the
Yes.
biggest and hardest thing to do. If you guys are interested, I have some book recommendations on that. I can't pull them off the top of my head. But you email, message us, find us on at Coach Girl Friday, the Damien G Show, and Damien's Advocate. got some book recommendations on clear communication, boundary setting. I know Henry Cloud is an author that has a ton of them. So we got resources. Just hit us up and subscribe and like and all that fun stuff.
Exactly. And I can kind of take us home now and say at Damon G Show, at Coach underscore Girl Friday, at Damon's Advocate on Instagram for the show Instagram, at Damon G Show for me on every other social media platform, youtube.com/Damon G Show. And we will see you next time.